Well, I enjoyed preparing this topic. I saw things I hadn't seen before, and certain things I had seen, but not to such an extent. And let me just tell you right away what the heart of the topic is tonight. God has more to give than forgiveness, more than reconciliation, more than a new heart, more than heaven. What could that be? Adoption. Adoption is more than forgiveness. You know, it is possible that you have forgiven someone for what he did, she did, and yet you keep distance. It is possible that you're friends with a person. It's not the same as a father and having adopted. You know, sometimes children are in respite care, or there's a babysitter, there's a bond, only for a couple hours or a day or two. A father and a mother are just so close to their offspring. And so God wants a bond with his people, a daily bond forever, even after death. So, think about that. The Lord, the creator of the universe, the almighty God, the highest majesty, he is he willing to adopt children, to adopt people close to him? Yes. He does not only want to be gracious, does not only want to forgive, he wants that bond. He wants that closeness, more than friendship. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that he are dust. So when does that adoption begin? At what point of time? Well, by nature we are children of wrath, not God's people by nature, not at all. And we need to be born again first in order to have life. And that regeneration is not a regeneration from eternity, right? Something that happens in the time. A sinner is dead in sins and trespasses. The Lord comes and quickens the person from the dead. He's alive. So alive is not the same as forgiven. Alive is not the same as accepted. So, it was in God's plan to quicken from the dead. It was God's plan to forgive. It was God's plan to also accept and to adopt. Many Jews during the time of Jesus said that God was their father. And Lord Jesus said, no, it's not true. He isn't. You give proof of that God is not your father. And they said, we are not born out of fornication. No, Lord Jesus said, I see it. If you would have loved me, yes, but you don't love me. And I'm the son of God, so you're not brothers. You missed that life. Now, to become adopted is not something you do yourself. A baby, a vulnerable baby, cannot do anything, cannot cause any parent to come to her, to him, say, adopt me. There's no ability. And so also in a spiritual sense, a child of God, dead in sins by nature, chose from eternity, yes, right, that's right, cannot bring himself into that family, cannot cause the Lord to adopt him. So it is a deed of God. Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. See that? Ephesians 1, we just read it together. Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestinated us, from eternity unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. It's God's work. And that gives hope. So not by nature is the first thought. Second thought, adoption is more. That moment of being made alive is incredible. The spiritual dead sinner becomes alive. The Holy Ghost comes in, makes that sinner a temple of the Holy Ghost. The sinner begins to repent, to feel sorry for his sins, begins to seek salvation, begins to seek a Savior, begins to believe in him. That's all connected to one another. But it's all also different. In principle, it will be possible that God makes alive and that God forgives sin and yet does not have a bond, right? Also in natural life, having children come over for a visit, to babysit, to have foster care, is not the same as adoption. But the Lord Almighty legally adopts people for himself, and not only for 18 years, for life. He adopts people, and then they become the same as all other people he has adopted. They're all the same to him. So adoption is more than justification, more than forgiveness, more than reconciliation. The Lord wants to have children for himself, to take care of them, to spoil them, to love them. Think of a judge. A judge in the courtroom, he acquits a person. He says, you're free to go. And outside the courtroom, he says, why don't you come with me? And he takes him home. Not only for an hour or two, but he adopts a child. That's more, right? Forgiveness, the judge forgives, takes home as a bond, and adopts. That's God. God the judge finds a sinner, adopts that sinner as he has planned before, takes the child home, dresses the child, cares for the child, and is legally the father of the child. So compare regeneration, justification, and adoption. Those three. Compare regeneration, justification, and adoption. What's the difference? Regeneration is about you change. Your heart changes. That's regeneration. You become alive. A change of heart. You change. Justification is a different status, a legal status. The status of freedom, of forgiveness, having no debt. That's justification. And adoption is a relationship, a continual relationship with God. So there's more than being born again, and more than being legally forgiven. It is having a relationship with Almighty God. Please find 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See? So adoption is more than justification, is more than regeneration. I also like Isaiah 66 for staff. Let me read to you. Isaiah 66 for staff. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall they suck. Ye shall be borne upon their sides and be dandled upon her knees. Or Jeremiah 31:20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Bowels, therefore my bowels are troubled for him. So the inward feelings, compassion of the father, the pity of the father for his children. That's what the Lord likes, to have a father bond with the children. So I think we can say that adoption is the heart of the Christian faith. If it is more than forgiveness, if it is more than be made alive, if it is that deep, it's the summary, the heart of Christian religion, having a father, being his child. Is there any other religion that goes so deep that God the Father, the Holy One, becomes the father of adopted sinners? Without understanding something of that relationship of a father and children, without the childlike fear, you don't understand Christianity. Christianity is more than forgiveness. It's more than a legal status. It's more than going to heaven. It's more than being saved. It is being back, brought back to God, being adopted by him. That's the heart of Christian faith. So without that, there's not much left. Adoption is the climax of Christian faith. It's the end point. It's the finish. It's the purpose of salvation, to have that relationship back. And no wonder that the New Testament speaks more frequently about that than the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's quite common. God has children. He has adopted them. He is their father. Also a few times in the Old Testament, but not too often. New point. Ungodly children. The Apostle Paul writes that God adopts people, but he also changes people. He makes them children. He gives them the spirit of adoption. He finds them as, oh, look at that nice baby that they put there on the steps, that is a fondling. No. The Lord does not find those nice babies that are left alone on the street in the corner or behind the dumpster. No, he finds enemies. He finds people resisting him. He finds people hostile towards him, people indifferent, people ungodly, people in their sins. And that's how he adopts them. He adopts them for no reason in themselves, not because they're so nice and so cute, but because he wants them for no reason in them. So that's why we read about the spirit of adoption, whereby they say, Abba, Father. So there is a legal change when the Lord gives adoption, a legal change. He is their father. Also an emotional change. Also a subjective change, an experiential change. So a legal change and an experiential change. A legal change that they are now legally for God's account. He's the Father. Also, he changes them. He makes them warm. He makes them caring. He makes them alive. He makes them behave like a child, because he gives them that spirit of adoption. You know, I don't know many details of adoption, and it's also different, I think. But suppose that a couple that wants adoption goes to is invited to go to an orphanage in Cambodia or Vietnam or wherever it is. And they get a tour, and you see all those children, 1 year old, 2 years old, babies, some quiet, some hostile, some crying, some difficult, some nice, some stretch out the arms, take me, some sick, some ugly, some handicapped. Which one would you take if you could pick? I don't know if it goes that way, but that would be so hard. Because you are inclined to take the cutest home, right? That's not how the Lord does it. The Lord takes sinners along. The Lord does it one-sided. And in grace, for his own glory, not to find anything in them. So yes, God adopts. He adopts sinners, and there's nothing in them attractive. And yet, he loves with eternal love in Christ for his name's sake. Adoption is expensive. You know, the lawyer costs, the traveling, the hotels, the meals. It's expensive. Ten thousands of dollars. And after that, then you take the child home. All the tuition and the clothing and the shoes and the meals and you name it. Over the years, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars per child. And not only money-wise, having children is also emotionally draining. Biological children, that's difficult. And sometimes adopted children are the same. Sometimes they have scars on their souls. So it's an investment. It's not easy. Having children is not easy. Having adopted children, neither. But then to sacrifice, it's expensive, and yet there are parents willing to do that for the child's sake, to make a difference, to love the child, to bring the child up in the fear of the Lord. But it's expensive, but that's fine. They take that. They invest in the child, and they see it as the calling. Well, Galatians 4, verse 5. What does it say there? Galatians 4, verse 5. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So he delivers them. Also in the verse before, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. See, that to redeem them, Galatians 4 verse 5, the redemption that is about buying, to acquire them by money. To redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. So there's a payment. And so it's also expensive in the sense that Christ died for them. He paid the price for them. And by the redemption, he paid the price for them. So what a special feeling if you may believe that you were adopted by the Lord, that he paid such a high price for you, But he said, I want that person as my child, as my son, as my daughter. That's so dear. That's so special. So, do you belong to that household? Would you like to? Are you hungry and thirsty for it? Next point, planned adoption. The Almighty God adopts people here when they're on earth, when they're alive in the time being. There's a moment that the sinner is made alive and becomes a child of God from a child of wrath, receives the spirit of adoption. But don't think that adoption was plan B. You know, that's often the case in this life, right? People marry and would like to have children and no children are coming, and that's often hard. And then they begin to think about a second plan. They had not even thought about it when they were younger. But now they begin to think about it. To adopt a child, what do you think about that? To adopt a child. It's new. It's a new plan. New thoughts. That's not how it was with the Lord. The Lord had in mind to adopt his people for eternity. That was his plan. To adopt them in Christ Jesus. Not a new thought. God was not taken by surprise. The Lord didn't think, well, I need to change the plans. No, it was from eternity planned, before the foundation of the world. Again, Ephesians 1. Verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. See? So, it's from eternity. Before the foundation of the world. So, adoption is not only from eternity, they're adopted in Christ from eternity. Pardon me? Yes. Adopted in Christ from eternity. In Christ, why? Because they are going to be sinners. So sin was already known in eternity. Before the world started, God thought of forgiving and adopting and giving grace. Yes, because he knew there would be sin. Sin was also included in God's plan. That's hard to believe, huh? That's true. Sin was not a surprise to God. That's what God's plan to save people from eternity in Christ Jesus. To adoption. So sin was not an accident. God was prepared. And all things were decided upon before. Next point. The purpose of adoption. You can see the purpose of adoption also in Ephesians 1, namely verse 6. Let us slowly read verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The praise of the glory of his grace. It's one of the main texts in the Bible, I believe. Ephesians 1:6. Let me try to unpack it and start at the end. By grace, right? By grace. For nothing. For free. And that grace is glorious. It is such a special, awe-inspiring, glorious grace. The glory of that grace. Certain things have glory, right? And God's grace is really, has real glory. And God wants to be praised for that. God wants people to say, "Oh, what a glorious grace that is. It's so special, so awe-inspiring, the glory of His grace." So people experience the amazing grace of that. So the Lord didn't only want people to stand in awe for creation. He wanted people to see His grace, the glory of it. And God knows Himself, and He knows that He is worthy of our glory for His grace. And God makes deep impression with His plan of adoption. When you understand something of God's plan of adoption, you're quiet. You're amazed, you're impressed. What a God. How awe-inspiring it is. And that's the Lord's purpose, to let people be amazed and be astonished about His adoption. There are also many blessings. The Lord Jesus taught the disciples the most perfect prayer. How did it start? Our Father, which art in heaven. Not creator or teacher or comforter or governor or maintainer, but Father. Not king, but Father. So why is that? The Heidelberg Catechism makes it very clear. The Lord wants to have the threshold low. He does not want to create distance and fear. He wants those people to feel comfortable with Him. He said, "I'm a Father." So saying Father is not something big and high and extreme and majestic. It is the opposite. He said, "I would like to be close and tender and approachable." He is Father. And I understand that people with bad fathers have difficulties relating to this in the Bible. I understand that. But this Father is so kind, so holy, so right, so understanding, so empathizing. So let me give you a few examples of what type of Father He is. In the first place, He's a father with authority. Of course, fathers have authority. They're the head of the wife and the head of the family. Authority. No, I don't deny that. Our Father which art in heaven. He is glorious. He has things to say. He is governing. He has his rights. He is God after all. Authority. He reigns and controls everything. He is a good father. Earthly fathers give their children good things. And would a heavenly father not do so when his children ask him? Would he give a serpent? Would he give a stone? Would he not be nice and good to them? He even gives his Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. He is a compassionate father. Earthly fathers have more or less understanding of their children. They're able to empathize more or less. Some not so good, some more. The Heavenly Father is able to empathize. to pity them, to understand. He can come alongside. He has compassion with them. Psalm 103. He's a loving father. A father has love for his children more than the neighbor children, the children in town. They're his children. Special loving bond with them. As you read before in 1 John 3:1, what a great love that is. He's also a father who gives the inheritance. Adopted or biological children, they both have the right to receive part of the heritage, of the inheritance. So the Bible speaks in Romans 8:17 about co-heirs with Christ and heirs of God. Now think about that. Who is the richest man in the world? I don't know. Think of the richest man in the world adopting a street kid with a horrible background and a difficult child. A child that was in jail many times and impossible. And a very rich man adopts a child and gives all the care and becomes an heir of a rich man. That's amazing. And so God's children are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And they receive more than the world. They receive God's property. They become inheriting the earth and more than that, the universe. A father leads and also witnesses and helps. Fathers show children the road and teach them the way. They raise children in a godly way with the wisdom they have. And so the father raises his children, also chastises them to their benefit. He has a strong hand. He unifies even. You know, think of that, unifying, a unifying father. A father doesn't like it when the children at the table fight. He wants them to be united as brothers and sisters, right? A father is keeping the peace in the family, I hope. And so God the Father does the same thing. He wants unity with his people and makes them brothers and sisters. Like angels are not family. God's people are. They have an oldest brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy 5. Verse 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Goes on. So you see in 1 Timothy 5 the relationship of God's people among each other. They're a family. They connect. They care. They like to do things together. They like to visit. They like to talk about things. They like to sing together. They like worship services together. Children resemble the father. They show his image. Next point, adopted by faith. It's remarkable that regeneration in the Bible is never connected to faith. You're not born again by faith. No. In being born again, the Lord gives faith, not by faith. Justification is by faith. Justified by faith. What about adoption? Adoption is also by faith. Famous text in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John 1, verse 12. But many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Received him, as many as received him, that's also believing, to them gave he the power, the authority, the legal status to become the sons of God in adoption, even to them that believe on his name. So they are believing and receiving him. So that's necessary for being adopted. In adoption, the Lord works faith, so they are adopted by faith, as you see also in Galatians 3, verse 23. So one of the most obvious marks of adoption is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main thing, faith in Christ for adoption. John 15, 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You can't hate Christ and be a child of God. It's crucial. Or think of John 16, 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and I believe that I came out from God. Or John 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So being adopted by the Father means also belonging to Christ and believing in him. And the last thought, adoption is a process. A process. So it's not so that someone is adopted, yes or no? Can be halfway adopted? No. You're adopted, are you not? But yet there's a difference. I'm not 100% sure that I think I can use this example. Adoptive parents are going out to an orphanage or something, and all the papers are signed. The child is legally theirs, but they're not home yet. And they have to take the plane, and they drive the car, and then they come to their home, and they open the door, and they take the child in. Emotional time, emotional moment to have the child at home, in its own bed. I think I would cry. So that's a very special moment. That's the final step of the adoption, to have it finally home. You know, you can have it in the hotel as well. Having it home is something else. What about Romans 8:23? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. So the final step in adoption is the second coming of Christ, when God's people are taken home to the new earth. And then they're always God's adopted children, forever and ever. So, a few questions for yourself to digest. Why is being adopted more than being forgiven? Do you know? Do you feel family with others in this spiritual sense? In what way will God's children resemble the Father? Do all God's people have the assurance and the insight into having a father? And what is the great purpose of the adoption of children? So far.